is the Pacifica National Board Audit Committee meeting of November 16th, 2011, convening at 6:12 p.m. Pacific Time, 9:12 p.m. Eastern Time. Summer Reese, Chair Pro Tem, Jane Gatewood, Secretary Pro Tem, and for telephone reasons, I will go ahead and I will call the roll and have a record of who's on the call right now. Anthony Fess?
Here.
Robert Mark? Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Carolyn Burden? Jane Gatewood?
Here.
Fred Plunder? Manajay Saba? Nancy Sibera Natomi?
Present.
Dan Siegel? Fred Blair?
Here.
Thank you. Bruce Wolf? J.D. Brinkley? Thomas Maney? Margie Wilkinson?
Here.
And Summer Reese, present. So that gives us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I still get 7 somehow. Jesus. Okay. And I know we had a couple other members who left and came back again, so 3.
I get 8.
You do get 8. Okay, good. Thank you. Because I'm doing this off my phone looking at the list. Okay. All right. Well, that would give us quorum. So since tonight's meeting, we've had trouble reaching quorum, and it's getting a very late start, and several members are engaged in other committee matters at their local stations, which is impacting our ability to meet. And I distributed a whole bunch of documents right before the meeting that people have not had sufficient time to review, but I would like to, we had some discussion before going on the call of scheduling our next meeting. And there was consensus to schedule it for Monday, December 5th. And so we need to put that on the public record. The next audit committee meeting will be scheduled for Monday, December 5th, 2011. And perhaps we could put together some priorities for that meeting based on some of the things that have been distributed to the members prior to this meeting. I will take suggestions, or I'll go ahead and give my ideas on what I think we should probably be looking at there. But I think there should be a review of the progress on audit deficiencies. I distributed a copy of last year's audit, as well as an internal spreadsheet on progress on correcting audit deficiencies. And I think there may be some further developments on that. If there are, I'll see if there's any other documentation to distribute from management on what corrective action has been taken on audit deficiencies. So I would like to schedule review of that for that meeting, if there's no objection. I'll take other suggestions for agenda items or hear from other members. Anyone else want to be recognized? I hear a rattle, but no one's speaking. And if you're trying to speak and you're muted, we can't hear you. I know Fred Blair. Hello, who's that? Hello? Okay. Fred Blair is going to post the various documents that have been sent to the members in the Yahoo group. So if you lose track of your what's been sent to you or need to refer to it later, it should be in the Yahoo groups by later this week. And I guess I'd like discussion of, if we should elect someone else to be chair for the remainder of the term or not, if there should be discussion on that and an election at the next meeting. I'm open to that suggestion. And then also a review of the pension fund audit, because there's been some discussion about the two different types of pension funds that we have, and one of them appears to be audited and the other really isn't, per se. I think we should have some discussion. I've distributed the pension fund audit that was prepared on the fund that does receive an external audit. So perhaps we could take a look at those documents between now and the next meeting and have some discussion on that as well, so we could have some greater clarity as a committee as to what the differences are between the pension funds and what's encompassed in any audits of those funds. So I don't know, does anyone else have suggestions for the next meeting? Is there any objection?
Yeah, this is Jane. So I just noted that you are suggesting that we review progress on audit deficiencies and that you will be forwarding any updates that you're able that you receive in the interim from management, and that we might also want to look at the pension fund audit just to at least familiarize ourselves with it, and if people have specific questions, they should bring them up at that time. Is that correct understanding?
Yes, and if there are any questions arise between now and the meeting after reviewing the documents, whether it's regular audit or audit, to maybe correspond via email so that answers to those questions could be obtained before the meeting. That would be really helpful, too. So.
I have a question. Nancy from KPFT. Wouldn't it be improving the situation if some of the audit members could check the evidence?
You mean the actual documentation in terms of pension fund deposits and that sort of thing?
Well, everything. And when the audit comes, can we have witnesses from the audit committee?
What do you mean exactly, Nancy?
Well, to watch when it's going on and look at the figures.
Well, generally the way audits are conducted is they send in, you know, auditors to review, they send bank confirmations to make sure the amount of money that is represented to them as being in bank accounts is actually there. I mean, in terms of witnesses, they tend to, you know, act very much on the actual records that exist in the organization. And some issues which we may want to discuss in the executive session are not necessarily flagged in an audit. You know, some of the internal control issues as to whether or not things are being handled properly may not be detected by the regular audit procedures when an audit is conducted. So in terms of being there when they're conducting an audit, a lot of it's conducted, via paperwork contact. You know, I mean, auditors come in, but a lot of what they do is requesting verification from outside institutions of the financial representations made by management. So I'm not exactly sure how the coordination would work on that in terms of being present when auditors are testing things, as it were. But it would certainly be valid, you know, and I don't think there would be a problem with necessarily having the auditor come on to this next call or the one after that to discuss with us some more about what the procedures are for conducting the audit, if that's something you'd want.
Yes, I'd like to look at the evidence.
Okay. Well, I think that I'd be happy to call the auditor and ask the auditor to give us like a half hour perhaps on the meeting to explain to us what they will be doing in terms of conducting the audit to bring greater clarity as to how that would work. Would that be helpful for this next step?
Yes.
This is Jane. I have a question related thought.
Yeah, please.
So I was thinking that it would be helpful if Mr. Wissam could let us know when he would expect to be in the various signal areas, and if he would welcome meeting our respective audit committee members at that time and answering any of their individual questions about the deficiencies and what they mean for the particular signal area. So that would, if we went that route, we would not necessarily ask him to come on the call, but we would ask him if he would be comfortable with letting us know when he's going to be in our area and if he would be okay with us meeting him if we're able.
Okay, well, it's my understanding that previous audits with both firms, actually, that they don't actually go to every individual station on every audit. A lot of what they do, again, is done on the paperwork, as it were, that is supplied from the individual units up to the national office, and they test individual stations, maybe a couple of stations on each audit. So why don't I think, I mean, because I hear where you're going, and that makes a lot of sense. I'm just not sure if that's actually what occurs. So I think if it seems wise, I will go ahead and call him and ask him about that, and perhaps I do think it might be helpful to us as a committee just to have him, if we don't take up too much of his time, come on the committee and explain what we should be expecting in terms of the conduct of the audit. You know what I mean? I know a lot of it's going to take place at the national office, because the national office is where at least copies of all these records should reside in the long run, and whether he plans on visiting individual stations. Because I know during some of these audits, like WBAI has been visited and KPFA has been visited, and I know at one point WPFW was visited, but I know like KPFK, I don't believe, was visited last year. So perhaps we could get better understanding of what the intent is going forward for this year's audit in terms of which stations will be visited. And then we could ask about that more, like a particularized meeting with the members from a particular signal area. Does that seem like that would perhaps cover both of your concerns too? So we have a realistic picture of what to expect, and then we could maybe see what further interaction could be had with the auditors at the local level. Does that seem reasonable, Jane or Nancy?
What was the question?
This is Jane. That sounds good to me. The way I understood you to say it is that you would contact Ross. You would ask if he might be available to join us on the 5th and just spend perhaps 30 minutes just giving us an idea of exactly what will occur during the audit, and if he'll be coming to the individual stations, and at that time find out whether when he comes to individual stations, if meeting audit committee members would be in order.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds good. Is there any objection to that by anyone? We could formalize that into a motion.
This is Nancy. I really would like to see the evidence. And he did I clarify? I want to clarify. You said that he did not come to KPFT last year?
I don't believe so. You know, KPFT is the smallest station financially, right? And part of it is because it would be quite expensive probably to go to all five stations every audit. And because we're one organization, the central office is supposed to have financial records on all of the stations, right? But I do know that individual stations have been visited at various points by both firms, because there are other things they check on, like, you know, whether your premiums are sitting in the hallway and they're unsecured. That's a problem from an audit perspective, because those are assets, right? So I do know that they go, and sometimes they detect additional problems when they go to a particular station and go, oh my gosh, you're doing this how? You should be doing it this way, you know. So what I'm saying is I don't personally know, and I don't suspect that he will visit all five stations in likelihood, but I would like to have clarity on which stations are anticipated to be visited, and then we can take it from there in terms of the personal interaction of audit committee members in seeing the underlying documentation that supports the conclusions of the audit, which is what I understand you're asking about, right, Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. So I think just to take it like in an interim step so that we don't get lost along the way, it would be helpful to have the auditor give us a little bit of his time as a committee to say, this is the plan going forward, this is how we're going to do it, and these are the stations we're visiting. And then we could inquire further about looking at the underlying documentation and how that could be accomplished without driving the auditors crazy, but while still satisfying whatever, you know, local committee members feel necessary to verify, you know.
And I want to ask, does he call these other, does he check with the, where the documents came from to make sure that they haven't been changed and that they're genuine? Does he go to that extent?
Well, no, in all honesty, I mean, from the audits that I've worked on, nobody really, okay, the things that are checked by third-party verification in any audit are things like closing balances, right? You know, you have a set of books and they say, you know, we closed with $100,000 surplus, hypothetically, right? An auditor actually sends confirmation letters to all of your bank accounts so that when your financial department says, you know, we've got $15,000 in this account and 20 over here and 10 over there, they send confirmations to all those banks to say at the close of the fiscal year how much money was sitting in that account. So they see if there's a discrepancy between the books, which they're looking at, which are supplied by management or, you know, the financial department, and they verify those against bank records and typically bank statements to see that the numbers are, you know, that they match up and that there's no discrepancy. So there is supposed to be outside third-party verification of various numbers that are compared to the in-house supplied numbers. And that's like, any audit is supposed to function that way so that you're not simply relying on representations of management, that you are actually verifying that these representations are correct. So I'm sure he could explain that a bit further and verify that as well. But I do know that they use things like bank statements and bank confirmations and things that come from third-party servicers that are not produced by our organization. Otherwise, it wouldn't be, you know, if they just relied on management representations, you really wouldn't have much of an audit, you know. So if there's no objection, I'm going to go ahead and schedule him to do that because I think that might help to answer some questions of the committee members and help us as the audit moves forward over the winter, you know. So yes, is there any objection to you?
And in executive session, we could ask him maybe some more detailed questions.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
good.
Of course. Yes, definitely. I can't see why not. And he should be happy to meet with us and answer our questions. That's part of what we're all supposed to do. Okay? And so I guess, Jane, if you could, I guess I'd like to make that as a motion. Can someone be the second for the record?
I second.
Thank you.
That's the motion.
Okay. Just to bring Ross, to bring the auditor on to the next meeting so that he can, you know, explain how the audit will progress and so that he can answer any questions we have about it, including underlying documentation.
Second.
Great. Thank you. And is there any objection to that? Okay. And hearing none, if you could mark that as passed. Jane, and I'll work on making that. So, okay. And I think discussion of the audit deficiencies and if we could review those documents and if there are questions that arise between now and then, maybe some email communication so I could try to get us some answers before the meeting, which would help all of us, I think. And is there anything else that anyone wants to add to the agenda here? Is there anything else anyone wants to discuss tonight? Because otherwise we could break the meeting and try to have as prepared a meeting as possible to get through as much of this as possible on the next meeting.
Can I find what was asked at the last audit meeting that I asked a question, how can we do something to make the audit go smoothly? And I hope he will give us some suggestions about that, just thinking.
Yes, okay. Well, see, that would be helpful also by having him on there because he may, in fact, have some suggestions that say, yes, if you're the local treasurer, I need you, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, that's very good because there are things that we may be able to help facilitate. I mean, a lot of this is a management function to see to it that everything is in order so that the auditors can locate documents in a timely fashion. But there may be things that local finance committees could do to help facilitate that. I'll make a note of that as well. Jane, if you're taking notes, could you make a note of Nancy's query, just like that we also find out what we could do to help facilitate the smooth, the smooth operation of the audit locally?
Yes, I will get that.
Great. Thank you so much. We'll have some questions prepared for the auditor as well, and I can supply those to him ahead of time so that he's has answers for us, okay? All right, is there anything else? Anyone else want to be heard?
This is Jane. I'd like to move to adjourn.
Thank you, Jane. Is there any opposition?
Since we're all here, why can't we elect a chair and a secretary? I hate to switch captains at this late date, but if we make it official, then isn't it better?
That's fine with me. As I recall from the summertime, we had Fred Klunder and Fred Blair as candidates. I don't know, Fred Blair, you're on the call. Are you still willing to be a candidate for chair?
I guess so. I'm not sure. I'm not all that enthusiastic about being it, but I would take on the job.
Okay. And Fred Klunder's not on the call. Shall we put that on the agenda, Nancy, for this next meeting, and I'll send out a note on that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Anyone else to throw his or her hat into the ring, they may do so.
This is Jay. I'm concerned about, you know, we may actually only have one more meeting before we reconvene with possibly new members. And I don't know if we elect a chair now and we end up with the same members. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I couldn't remember whether I was muted or not. So I'm just concerned about us taking time on that call when we want to have Ross Wisdom on. I just wonder if perhaps we could, is it possible that we'll be able to have this would be like officers through until January or February? What would the deal be? When would we normally be electing the officers anyway?
February, I guess.
February, so...
Because the board would turn over in January, I guess it would be February.
Oh, wow. KPFT is electing national delegates.
Well, you turn over the people in December, but your new, the delegates to the national board, January is probably, it would be January or February. It'd be fairly soon.
I would just be concerned about taking time. It may not take long if we only have one candidate, but if we're going to be asking him to come on the call and we want to have enough time to discuss these things thoroughly, I would rather just muddle through with the interim. If you're willing, Summer, to carry on.
We're all here. I just want to see us if we can get some work done and try to get things worked through that. Hopefully next year we'll run a little further. I'm fine either way, quite frankly. I'd like us to review the audit deficiencies. I'd like to put and I would like us to get some clarity from the auditor as to what to expect from the process.
Oh, good. Okay. I wish I hadn't said anything. Okay. Yeah. Summer, I think since you're willing to continue and there's no conflict of interest, then why don't we continue with you as pro tem?
Okay. And what about you, Jane? Are you okay as secretary pro tem continuing?
Assuming my phones are fixed by next month.
Okay. All right. And we can always, if there's a difference of opinion, because we have more members on the next meeting, that's fine too. Okay. So I think if we can get the auditor on the phone and actually have some discussion with him, and also they'll give us an opportunity if we want to discuss the audit deficiencies with him as well, that would probably be not a bad idea, you know? So, because that'll certainly come up in the next year's audit as to what's been corrected and what hasn't. And that way we can have some discussion with him about that as well if everyone takes a look at that stuff, all right? All right, so Jane still has a motion to adjourn on the floor. Is there any objection to that? And this issue, we can re-raise it, and if there's, I'm fine either way. So. Okay, is there any objection to adjourning until the 5th? Hearing none. Thank you. Everyone, please take a look at all those documents. Try to pepper your questions as soon as possible so I can send them back to management, and I will inquire if there are any other deficiency updates that we should have between now and then. Get a hold of Ross. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.